of the churches. He said, a Satan who is always corrupt, whatever he can, we find him corrupting the minds and hearts of men so that they can reject the truth. And he has always attempted to receive worship as though he were God, not the servant and creation of God. He drew worship away from God to the end that he might draw it unto himself and be exalted. Amen. That was his aim. Drawing, shifting the worship from God to himself. But how does he do it? He says, thank you. Yes. He has always attempted to receive worship as though he were God and not a servant. He drew worship away from God to the end that he might draw it unto himself and so be exalted. Yes, sir. Next one. Now, talking about Nimrod. Are you okay there? Okay. He said, Nimrod wanted to make a name for himself, which he also accomplished. His accomplishment was so monumental that the kingdom of Babylon was called the head of gold amongst all the world governments. And by history, we can prove that that religion of Nimrod, remember, the prophet shows that Nimrod represents the devil, Satan. He wanted people to worship him. And by history, we can prove that his religion invaded the whole world, and it is the basis for every system of idolatry and the theme of mythology. Though the names of the gods differ in various sections of the land according to the language of the people, it was still him. But here they'll call him Pharaoh. There they'll call him, I don't know what other name, Madonna, and Ishtar, Osiris, Baal, but it was still him, Nimrod. Amen. No matter what name you give him, he's okay. And then he says, then he made a name for himself, and his followers goes without saying for as long as this present age goes on, he will be worshipped and honored, though under a different name from Nimrod. And in a temple slightly different from the one in which he was originally adored. Amen. Amen. That's still Nimrod. It takes different shapes. It takes different name. But no matter what shape and what appearance it takes, it's still the devil that the people are worshiping. Amen. Amen. We need to know that because the prophet draws our attention so that we can understand the disguise of the devil. He can take any shape. He can change the temple. He can take an appearance of an angel of God so that you will be worshiping, not knowing that you are worshiping him. He's disguised under a different name, but it's still him. Amen. It's very important that we understand this principle. We saw in the Old Testament, this episode of the brazen serpent, how in the beginning it was a blessing because it was a way, a channel that God used to heal the people. The glory of God got manifested through the brazen serpent. But later on, the people, instead of keeping the brazen serpent at its place, at its position, they started now worshiping it. In 2 Kings 18, we read last time, the people put it in the temple. They started even offering incense to that brazen serpent. Amen. And you know, offering of incense, what is it exactly? It's exalting someone. Because incense is it's smoke, you know. And smoke in this present world, it's a symbol of exaltation. When there's big manifestations, when they are celebrating a big victory, what do? You see the smoke coming out. Wow! And the people are shouting and everything. That was the worship, the type of worship they were giving to these serpents. Instead of, you know, directing the worship to God, they started directing the worship to the brazen serpent, bringing incense, offering it to it. It went for ages. Just imagine from the journey in the wilderness to the reign of King Hezekiah. How many generations of people worshipped that brazen serpent, and it was sitting in the temple of God. People were coming in the temple to worship, thinking that they are worshipping Jehovah, but they were worshipping this brazen serpent. They were directing the, you know, worship to the serpent. To the point when the king, Hezekiah, came, he found this idolatry in the temple. He said, we need to put an end in it. And what did he call it? The Bible says he called it Nehushtan. If go and read in 2nd, we don't have the time, 2nd Kings 18. He called it Nehushtan. And Nehushtan in Hebrew, it means it's just a piece of bronze. He said, this is just a piece of bronze. Why are you worshiping it? It was not made to be worshipped. It was made just for one occasion. God wanted to use it as his way to bring healing in the camp. And after that, it becomes just a simple piece of bronze. Amen. After God finished using it for his glory, it is only a piece of metal. Amen. The king Hezekiah, it broke it into pieces, threw it in the fire. He said, this is just a piece of bronze. It's nothing else. There's nothing more. It's not worthy of taking glory. Amen. He broke it into pieces to show the people that the glory belongs only to God. Any channel, any vessel that God is going to use to manifest his glory is just Nehushtan. Amen. If God uses you, if God uses the pastor to manifest his glory, you consider the pastor, consider the preacher just as the brazen serpent. It's just Nehushtan. It's just a piece of flesh and blood that God uses to manifest his glory, and he leaves it afterwards. Amen. This is very important. We need to understand that. The prophet says this. Look at the serpent, the brass serpent in the wilderness. Did you know the prophet has to tear that serpent to pieces? Why? Because the people were worshiping the serpent, and they made an idol out of it. Do you believe you can do that today? Amen. You see the question. Do you believe that can be done today? You can make an idol out of your church. Amen. He's bringing it now into present days. It was, they were worshiping something that was meant to be a blessing, that brazen serpent. But today, the church, which is meant to be a blessing, you can make an idol out of your church. Amen. Amen. You can make an idol out of your pastor. Amen. Amen. We'll see it maybe next week. Many pastors in the message today, they are worshipped, literally. I'm telling you, many pastors, they've built their empires. You go to church, it's not Jesus that is exalted, it's the pastor that sits there. If you see the glories they are giving to the pastor in the church, even the apostle Paul never received such a glory. Amen. The people will go on in a church on a Sunday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. celebrating the pastor's birthday. Amen. It's not about Jesus. It's about the pastor. My brother, my sister, where did you pick that from? Amen. We go to church to worship Jesus. It's not about exalting a man. You can make an idol out of your pastor, out of an evangelist. And I am afraid that that's what a whole lot of it being done today. They idolize the man. Amen. That's what's happening in our days. People are really worshiping men instead of God. We are going to take it piece by piece. You will see that we need to be very careful in our worship, because without knowing it, you may have replaced Jesus by just another Nehushtan. Amen. You may have just taken another piece of bronze, which was a good, you know, piece that God, instrument that God used in his program, but keep it in its position as an instrument that God used. Don't try to make it to replace God in your worship. And unfortunately, today, many people have replaced Jesus with the prophet William Branham. Amen. Many have given the position of Jesus. They have taken the prophet William Branham there. And the funny thing is, some they do it, knowingly, they confess it. Some they do it without knowing it, thinking they are still worshiping Jesus. But in their deeds, you see that it's not Jesus that is being worshipped. It's actually the prophet. How can you imagine a church when they say, they call the name of Jesus, the people are sleeping? Amen. But when they say, William Branham said, the church is shouting, that offering incense onto a piece of bronze. Amen. How cannot the name of Jesus make you to feel happy? It's a name of a man that makes you to feel happy. John the Baptist, when he was in the womb, the name that made him to, you know, to shout was the name of Jesus. Amen. It was not a name of a man. Though Mary was the Nehushtan that God was using that time, but Mary knew her position, that my name is not enough to bring healing, to bring resurrection. The name that brings the resurrection of the dead is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she spoke the name of Jesus, there was a revival in the church. Amen. If it is the name of Branham that brings a revival in your church, you are in idolatry. Amen. Amen. If they shout the name of Jesus from morning to the end, you are sleeping. And the only name that will make you shout is Branham, you are an idolater. Amen. Amen. Listen to what himself, Brother Branham, says. He's talking about the Congressman Upshaw. You know the story. The man was crippled for almost 66 years. And through the ministry of the prophet, that man got healed. He says, there was a great man right here, sitting here that wore crutches for a long time, the congressman of the U.S., Mr. Upshaw, he's here. He was crippled for all many, many years, 66 years. And here he is tonight without his crutches, without his chair, without anything, walking just normally. Would you stand up, congressman, so just the people can see you? Do I have it? Okay, it will come up. Would you stand up, congressman, just so that the people could see you? Here he is, the congressman of the U.S. He was crippled for 66 years. Let's say, blessed be the Lord. God bless you, my brother. How did Mr. Upshaw, I've never seen him in my life. I know nothing on him. I was the congressman he was, but the Holy Spirit revealed it here on the platform. It revealed it. Makes his secret known. Now, that's nothing to do with me. Amen. Amen. It just happened to be that I was born for that purpose. Amen. Amen. That's nothing to do with me. Amen. The prophet used the exact same word there, Nehushtan. Yes, sir. Just a piece of bronze. Just a piece of flesh and blood. That's nothing to do with me. He says, just like the pool and the water of Bethesda. Amen. Amen. The pool and the water of Bethesda couldn't say, look what a great water I am. Amen. For when the angel went off the water, it was just Nehushtan. Amen. 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 When the angel gets out of the water, it was just water. Amen. Amen. He said, I was born in that purpose. It was not me. I happened just to be there. Amen. It was just I was born on that purpose. Like just the pool of, you know, the pool of water of Bethesda. There were so many pools in Israel. There were so many pools in the land. But that particular pool has the, you know, specificity that a special angel was coming down and moving the water in the pool. The only thing that made that pool special was the coming down of the angel. Amen. As long as the angel didn't come down, the pool was just like any other pool. Amen. It was just Nehushtan. Amen. He says, just like the pool and the water of Bethesda. He couldn't say, look what a great water I am. For when the angel went out off of the water, it was just water. He's comparing himself to the pool of Bethesda. When the angel is there, the supernatural will happen. But when the angel leaves, it becomes just another piece of metal. Amen. Why people are trying to make the man of God what he has never considered himself to be. Amen. He says, I'm just another piece of metal. He says, listen now. Now, I am just your brother. Yes, sir. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Listen now. But when the angel of the Lord moves down, I become the voice of God to you. Amen. Amen. When the angel of God moves down, it becomes a voice of God to you. We believe that the angel of the Lord spoke through Brother Branham. That's why we take the spoken word as the, you know, the voice of God to us. But the vessel is just another piece of metal. Amen. He comparing himself to the water of Bethesda. When the angel of the Lord moves down, I become the word of God, the voice of God to you. But when the angel leaves, the water becomes just another water, like any water. Amen. Don't try to make Brother Branham what he is not. Amen. People are worshiping now Brother Branham by displacing him, moving him from his position as a prophet to give him a... Even though they don't say that we worship Brother Branham, but by your deeds, we can testify that who are you worshiping exactly? Amen. By your attitude, we can say, who are you worshiping? Who is the Lord in your heart? Amen. How can, a wife not be moved by the voice of her husband? Amen. If another man starts moving your heart instead of your husband, then something is wrong. Amen. You are meant to be Mrs. Jesus Christ. Amen. But when the name of Jesus doesn't move you anymore, you need to examine your experience. Amen. Amen. He says, when he was talking, he said, I become the voice of God to you. Amen. Amen. He could feel with the gift of discernment. He could feel that someone in the audience didn't accept that. He said, if I offended you by saying that, forgive me. But I felt that it might be resented. But I am the voice of God to you. Amen. I say that again. That time was under inspiration. See, and I felt bad about the first time. But it is repeated now. To show that he's insisting that when the angel of the Lord is here, yes, I am the voice of God to you. doubting the ministry, doubting the prophet, when the angel of the Lord is there,
amen.
My brother, my sister, you are condemning yourself.
Amen.
Amen. But remember, he says, I'm your brother, a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Many of us in the message today, we have removed the prophet from his position. We have given him the place of Jesus Christ. Amen. Last time I said, my brother, my sister, we are not worshiping pictures.
Yes.
Amen. Of course, we don't have pictures here yet. We'll put them. Don't worry. It's still a job in progress. Amen. We have not finished the job yet. We'll put the pictures. We'll put everything. That's not the question. But if for your worship, if you come to church and you can't worship God because you don't see the picture, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Because we don't worship the pictures. We worship God, Jesus Christ, who is a spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ is a spirit. Because the picture we put here is just a piece of paper and ink. Amen. We can burn it today. We have not burned Jesus Christ. Amen. This Bible has been burned throughout the ages. Did they burn the word? Did they burn Jesus? This is just paper and ink. If you take the glory of God and put it in this book, you are worshiping the book. Amen. Today, people are putting more importance, more emphasis on what they see, rather than on God who is spirit. Amen. We worship the church. We worship the pastor. We worship the pictures. We worship. All these things are good, but as long as you keep them on their position. The pictures are testimonies of God has done today. But this is not our God. It doesn't represent God at all. There are no people that will come and say, oh, I see the pillar of fire, that's why I'm kneeling down before the pillar of fire. No, the pillar of fire, that was a confirmation. The pillar of fire is not, stuck in that picture there. Because if we tear it apart today, we have not torn apart the pillar of fire. If you burn it today, if there's a fire in this house today, the pillar of fire, the picture will be burned. But if your God was in the picture, I'll ask you, what will you worship again?
Amen.
Amen. But those images, you go and kneel down before them. No, because God is a spirit. We take them as testimonies of what God has done today. Amen. It's a confirmation of the ministry.
Amen.
The pillar, the brazen serpent, on those days, people took the picture of the brazen serpent and put it in the temple and started worshiping it. That's what people are doing today. You take the picture of something that was good, but you are now, instead of keeping it in its position as a testimony, when you can't worship God anymore because the picture is not there, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
Amen. We worship our temples. Let me close with that one. People put more emphasis now on the temple rather than on souls.
Amen.
Amen. A temple is a building. This house is a building. I've seen churches where someone comes, they tell him, we won't let you enter because you are in miniskirt. The emphasis should be on the soul or on the temple. Amen. A temple is just a building. It's just a nehushtan. But God wants to save that soul. Who told you that before someone can come to receive salvation, they must be dressed properly? Amen. What the importance of the word now? Because it's actually the word of God that should now clean them, convince them of their sin, and then when they look at themselves, they say, the word has convinced me. I need to change my dressing. Amen. Remember the prophet when he went to South Africa. Those natives, they were naked. When they received the Holy Ghost, what does the prophet say? They started hiding the nakedness. Because the Holy Ghost convinced them that what you are doing is not correct. They went and tried to find something to cover themselves properly. Amen. Nehushtan. Amen. Keep it in mind. It's just a piece of metal. The pastor is just a piece of metal. Brother Eli is just a piece of metal. Amen. Because I know men like worship. Yeah? When the people start worshiping you, oh, it's sweet. It's so sweet. Ah, yes, yes. You see the pastor sitting there. And I've seen it. Songs being made in the name of the pastor. I say, if you want to, you know, to appreciate your pastor in a certain way, making a poem or something, it's good, it's nice. But be careful, because the border is very thin. Amen, amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We commit now the remainder of the service into your hands. Take now the leadership, take control, and lead us and bless us. We don't want to be guilty of these things, oh Lord. We want you to help us, to lead us, and to keep us in all truth. If we have been guilty of this at some stage in our experience, forgive us, oh Lord, and help us to get back on track. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.